A long time ago, as a campus student, I was baptized as a freshman at North Carolina State University in 1975.
Okay.
And it was because of the zeal and faith, I think, of people who didn't even know what they were doing, that I was led to the Lord. So I want to share with you today a thought that has been on my heart lately, and it's a statement that Moses makes to God in an encounter with God, where he says, "Lord, show me your glory."
Amen.
Show me your glory. And I want to talk some about what that means and the difference it can make in our lives. So in Exodus chapter 33, Exodus chapter 33, we'll read this together. Moses is having an encounter with God. He says, "How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one can see my face and live." And so when you think about what that would look like, when God said that, when Moses asked God to show me your glory, what was it that Moses was anticipating seeing? And what would you have thought would be revealed if you were going to see the glory of God? You know, every man had stood in the presence of the glory of God. Ezekiel saw the glory of God. The Bible says he sat down 7 days overwhelmed. Isaiah saw the glory of God, and after he saw it, he says, "Woe to me, I'm a sinful man." Now Moses here, he wants to see the glory of God, and you would expect that there would be some miraculous display of God's omnipotent and glorious power. There would be something that would blow your mind, maybe lightning and hail or some incredible vision that would appear to Moses as he is going to see the glory of the Almighty God. And this is what happens. The Bible says, so Moses chiseled out two stone tablets, like the first ones, and went up to Mount Sinai early in the morning, as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried two stone tablets in his hand. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. This is the glory of God. What makes God glorious? Oh, we can take time to talk about the immutable, almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, self-existent God who has always been and who always will be. He's incomparable. Nothing measures up to him. He knows all things. He sees all things. He is an amazing God. But when you talk about the glory of God, this is what you see.
Yeah.
You see that he's a compassionate, gracious God. This is what he says. I'm slow to anger, abounding in love, abounding in faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. What makes God glorious? What makes him so glorious is that he knows that we're sinners. He knows everything about us. Every thought, every action, things about sinful people.
Yep.
I mean, I wouldn't want to spend a day in your head. Because I don't think I'd get out alive. Because so much garbage goes into our hearts and minds. And God knows everything we've done, every thought, every secret, things your parents don't know about you, things your boyfriend or your girlfriend doesn't know about. God sees and knows it all. And yet, He still loves you.
Wow.
He still wants a relationship with you. He still will forgive you. He still will wash away all your sins. He's an amazing God. And His glory is seen in His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness and His patience and His willingness and desire to have a relationship with all of us. Have you seen the glory of the Lord God Almighty? Because when you do, it will revolutionize your life.
Yeah.
I'm afraid that too many people just attend church. They just play Christianity. They just show up for a church service and they wear the name Christian or Church of Christ member or whatever, and they don't know God. They haven't seen Him. So their lives are just stagnant and lukewarm. Because when you see the glory of the Lord God Almighty, the God, the Lord of heaven's armies, it changes you. You're never the same. God is not some evil eye in the sky waiting to condemn you. He is our loving, compassionate Heavenly Father who desires a relationship with all His children. And the only way you can really see the glory of God is you got to look at Jesus.
Yeah.
Because Jesus came to this earth to reveal God to us. He's the exact reputation of God. And what you see in Jesus is a man who is willing to spend time with sinners, the friend of sinners, turn the Pharisees and Sadducees upside down because they could not understand if this man was a rabbi and a prophet. Why would you spend time with these evil people? Because that's what God does. That's what God is all about. He's about redemption. He's about compassion and grace and mercy. And I tell you what, when I first learned that, it moved me because I could be set free. I could start over. I could start again. And all my past and all my sins and all the stuff I'd done that was wrong and evil and selfish could be washed away and never brought up again. You see, God has qualities that we don't have. Only God is infinite. Only God is incomprehensible. No, you can't wrap your mind around how great God is. He is so incredible. Only God is self-existent. And we don't understand that because everything we've ever known has a beginning and an end. God has no beginning and He has no end. He has always been and He always will be. He is self-sufficient. He doesn't need us for anything. He is eternal. He is immutable. He's unchanging. He's omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. The problem with man is we want to be these things. And we can't be. And we're not. And we get in trouble when we try to be. But there are parts of God that we can imitate. You know, God is, and we can too. We can be holy.
Amen.
We can be loving, we can be just, we can be good, we can be merciful, we can be gracious, we not always are, we can be long-suffering, we can be wise, a lot of times we're not. We can be jealous for God, like God is jealous for us. We can be faithful, righteous, truthful, we can forgive. And so God wants us to imitate the part of His character and nature that we can follow. And in doing this, we give him honor and we give him glory, and it makes our lives so much better.
That's right.
It gives us the peace that surpasses understanding. It gives us the joy that we desire. It gives us the contentment that so many are searching for when we finally come to realize we need to imitate him. But I want to remind you, God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness is totally amazing.
Yes.
It's amazing. Mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. Boy, what we deserve, we're going to talk about that in a minute, but God shows us mercy and that he spares us from what all of us deserve, and that is death. Grace is receiving what we don't deserve. Not only does God redeem us, but he raises us up into the heavenly realms. He wants us to spend eternity with him, and he blesses us time and time and time again with immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine, with 100 times as much in this present age if we'll just remain faithful. We don't deserve that, but that's his grace that he's shown toward all of us. And no matter who we are or what we've done, God is willing to forgive and to restore us.
Yep.
And what I want to help you with as college students is to help you understand that your friends don't get this. The people on your campus, they don't get this. They don't know who God is. They don't understand the grace and the goodness of God. It is our obligation to help them to see who God really is, because they've grown up with this religious notion of a God who's angry, a God who condemns, a God they can't relate to. But if only they knew about his goodness. If only they knew about his patience and his kindness.
Yeah.
If only they knew that he understands them and that he accepts them the way that they are, with all their idiosyncrasies and all their weirdness and all their craziness, and that he created them in his image, and his desire is to walk with them, to be with them, to spend eternity with them. Sometimes we're so caught up in our own self-righteousness that we're judging instead of loving. We're comparing instead of realizing that we're all the same, that all feet are level at the foot of the cross. And so here's something I want to take a few minutes to remind you of. We will never understand or appreciate the grace and mercy and forgiveness of the glorious God of heaven's armies until we see our true selves. Mm. See, when I studied the Bible a long time ago, I had to first see where I was spiritually. And man, when I saw it, and when I saw the cross and what God had done for me, it broke me. Because
right.
I've gone to church and, you know, I gotten baptized, and it was a crazy baptism because the preacher asked me, did I want to be dipped, dunked, or sprinkled? Because I had an afro back then, believe it or not. I said, I'll take the sprinkling. I need as little water as possible, because water will shrink this amazing afro that I have. And no one said anything to me about sin. No one told me I needed to repent of anything. No one told me I needed to stop sleeping with my girlfriend. No one told me I needed to stop lusting. No one told me I needed to stop cheating or using profanity. I just joined the church. And I didn't last very long, because it made no difference in my life. I may still be on their church roll somewhere, I don't know, because no one ever asked me where I was when I left. But then I opened the Bible, and someone showed me the Bible, and they showed me my sin, and they showed me what Jesus had done for me on the cross, as Josh just began to talk about his testimony just a few minutes ago, and I got it! For the first time, I got a glimpse of God's love for me, because here's my life, Romans chapter 1. And we don't even like that this much anymore because we're afraid we're going to offend somebody. But until you see who you are, whether you're a Christian or not, you'll never have the love and passion for God that you need to have till you're broken by your own sin. No one else. You don't need to be thinking about anyone else. And so here's what the Apostle Paul tries to get us to understand. He says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. This is the world we live in today. A world that God loves and that God sent Jesus to rescue. Since what may be known about God is plain to them. All you got to do is stop for a minute and think, you know, we just had this big eclipse and people were in awe of the eclipse. What? Who made all that? Who made the heavens? Who made the sun? We don't even stop to ask ourselves, who created all this and how does it all continue to remain in place the exact distance from earth to create life? How does all that work? There has to be some supreme being that's holding it all together. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. This is the state of man. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, animals, and reptiles. It really bugs God when we worship things other than him. It bugs him because he doesn't get it. Says you're going to create something and make it yourself and then say it's God? God just goes, help me out now. How do you do that? But men have done it time and time again, and we even do it today with other things. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies of one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. In other words, God gives us freedom. Says, okay, you want to go? Just go ahead. Right. And either in our minds or even physically, we've gone there. And it just shipwrecks our lives. Mm-hmm. He says, and because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust, even though women exchange natural relations for unnatural ones. And this is not written to condemn us. What you're going to see is God knows all this, sees all this, and for us, we would go, let's just wipe man out. This is not going to work. But God sees all the craziness that's going on every day, every weekend, every place, and every corner of the world. Wants to redeem us. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. This is the world we live in. This is New York, New York. 2024. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Doesn't work. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. I hope you're listening to the news or reading the newspaper because this is our world. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. God lays it out. Although they know that God's rights, know God's righteous decree, that those who do such things, what does he say? Those who do such things, what does he say? Say it again. They not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. You know what we deserve? you can't compare yourself with anybody else. We deserve death. And right now, there are about, in the United States, there are about 2,400 people on death row. Can you imagine one guy to sell to the next guy on death row saying, you know what? You're on death row, but I'm better than you. He said, well, you're on death row too? He said, you're just as condemned, but you know what I did, not quite as bad as what you did. See, sometimes that's where we go. We think, well, we compare our sin with other people's sin, and guess who always comes out ahead? We do. We compare where we are religiously with where other people are religiously, and guess who comes out ahead? We do. But God is trying to help us to see we all deserve death. And not just physical death, but spiritual death. That's eternal separation from God. And I don't think we get it. I don't think it really hits home. Because we think we're good. We think we deserve salvation. We think, look, God, I'm doing you a favor by being a part of your church, by trying to do the right thing. You're out of your mind. We deserve death. I deserve death. When I think about the life I was living, how I rebelled against God. And I knew in my heart, my conscience, that what I was doing was wrong, but I still did it. I deserve death. And don't you ever think that you're so good that you deserve heaven, because you don't. And until you get it, Jesus coming to save you won't mean much to you at all. Because you think, hey, Jesus, hey, I'm a great addition to the campus ministry. In the New York City Church of Christ, they should be praising God that I showed up this morning. Have you lost your mind? You know, the proverb writer says, who can say I've kept my heart pure? I am clean without sin. Proverbs 20, verse 9. Who can say that? None of us. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. There is not a righteous man or woman on earth who does what is right and never sins. None of us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I was studying the Bible recently with a guy in Florida. I was supposed to read a sabbatical, but I had to get in sometimes. And so he was a very religious guy. His name was Sam, just like my name. And I was trying to just help him out. Sam, okay, let's talk about your life. Because he was doing all this God talk. And I began to go through his life, and his life was a shipwreck. And after a while, he said, you know what? I don't want to talk about this anymore. I want to move forward. I don't want to look back. I said, Sam, you can't move forward until you see where you are, truthfully, where you are right now. And he got so upset, he said, I'm done. And he ended the study because he could not handle seeing himself the way he really was. And I told him, I said, well, you know, even the great Apostle Paul said, I am a sinner. I am the chief of sinners. He said, no. He said he was the worst of sinners. I said, no, no, no. He said, I am the worst of sinners. So we went over there and looked at 1 Timothy 1, and when he saw that, he was like, I can't believe it. Because he did not want to accept his true condition. And how often is that what we are? We get on the scale and we hear what it says. We say, no, no, that's not what I weigh. That cannot be right. That's not right. We don't want to accept the truth about where we are spiritually. Someone points out something to us and says, you know, you just didn't slip up. You deliberately, this is who you are. You're a liar. No, no, I've told some lies. No, no, you're not just telling a lie. You're a liar. I'm not a liar. Yeah, you are. And until you can own it, you can't move forward. Well, I'm not selfish. I just take advantage of girls. Yes, you are selfish. And you're lustful, and you're immoral, and you're godless, and you deserve hell. No, no, wait, whoa, 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 man. I'm not as bad as the guy next door. Are you kidding me? And until we get it, and I've gotten it, you know, these years I've been a Christian, I appreciate God's grace and love and mercy more than I ever have, because I see my sin more than I ever seen it before. And I believe this scripture, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do you believe that?
Yes.
And here's the good part. And are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. The Message version says, since we've compiled this long and sorry record as sinners, both us and them, both Jews and Gentiles, and prove that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious life God wills for us. You believe that?
I do.
God did it for us. Out of sheer generosity, he put us in right standing with himself, a pure gift. You did not earn it. You did not deserve it. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be, and he did it by the means of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's God. That's God seeing you at your worst. That's God seeing your every sin and evil thought. And you might even have a few toward me during this message, and God knows it. He knows it. There are times when people talk to Jesus, and Jesus responded to what they were thinking, not just what they were saying. He knows our thoughts. And yet, he still redeems us and wants to spend eternity with us. You know, a psalm I've memorized is Psalm 103. And in verse 8, it says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harvest anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Is that good news? Or repay us according to our iniquities? For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we're dust. And so, as a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He has compassion on us. This is the heart and the character and the mind of God. Do you get it? Do you realize you've been forgiven? Do you get it? Do you get up in the morning praising God that he gave you life? Do you get it? Have you seen the glorious grace and mercy and goodness of God?
Come on, bro.
Have you seen it? When you see it, it changes you.
Yeah.
So as we begin to wrap this up, this is Jesus. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And what did Jesus say? With all that's going on, he's been spat on, he's been mistreated, he suffered the most horrible death. And what does Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. He looks down on us and he says the same thing today. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't get it.
Wow.
But let's forgive them. Let's forgive them. See, understanding forgiveness gives you perspective.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
It gives you peace.
Yeah.
It gives you passion. Perspective. Paul said, and I mentioned this earlier, he says, the grace of the Lord our God was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Why was the Apostle Paul the most passionate, zealous Christian that we read about in the scripture? Because he got it.
That's right.
He got it. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. mercy on my soul. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14, go back and read it sometime. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Man, I can't withhold forgiveness. Sometimes we're so critical and we think, hey, I deserve to be critical. Seriously? Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. This is the problem with our world today. Bitterness, anger, resentment. Whether it's nations or individuals or families, this is our problem. And the real issue is, we don't realize how much we've been forgiven. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Perspective. How do you see yourself as you stand in the presence of God? Oh man, I'm forgiven. Praise God. I was a sinner. I am a sinner. God forgives me time and time again. I see His glory. Peace. Is there peace in our world today? Is there peace in the hearts of individuals? No. In Matthew 6, verse 14, Jesus says it, for if you give others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Man, there's such peace when you let things go. When you say, Father, I forgive, and forgiveness doesn't always mean relationship. But it does mean that I'm not living in that chasm of bitterness and resentment and letting this stuff control my life. I'm at peace because I'm letting it go. Luke 6:37, Jesus says, do not judge, or you and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured in your lap. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Oh, good Lord. Man, I'm thankful. God doesn't judge me the way I've judged other people. I'm thankful God doesn't criticize me the way I criticize other people. I'm thankful that God doesn't look down on me like I've looked down on other people. God is good. When we get this and we understand that there's only one righteous judge, and there's so much injustice in our world, and somehow we think we can fix it, we can't. We haven't fixed anything. But God fixed it. We just need to wait on Him. It's been a hard lesson for me to learn. And then finally, when you understand and you see the glory of God, it gives you passion.
Yeah. That's right. Come on.
You know, we read earlier, or quoted up earlier, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and the grace to me was not without effect. You know, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Let me tell you, I can't help but share my faith. Can't help it. Because I know what life is like when you don't have the grace and the goodness and the love of God in your heart. I was there. Nobody has to tell me to share my faith. And I know we all have our ups and our downs, and we're on our off, and God still loves us and regardless of it. But how can you not, when you've been set free? How can you not, when God's been so good to you? I mean, what would you think, ladies, if one of the girls in here got engaged and never said anything about it? Says, you got engaged?
Now I'm keeping on the down low.
Well, do you have a ring? Yeah, I got a ring, but I'm going to show it off. Can we? Man, you couldn't even hear the message that day. Glory be to me. I mean, it's good news, right? You gotta talk about it. You gotta talk about it. Went to see the movie the other day. And I'm an advertisement for that movie now. Because you wanna know which one it was?
Yeah.
Alright, I keep getting mixed up with the Unglorious movies. The new movie about the guys who go and fight the Nazis. What's in it? It just came out.
Was it Straight Out of the Jungle?
Yes! Loved it. You should go. You should go. I got an AMC card. Maybe we can go together. But what's the best advertisement? What's the best advertisement for a sale? Word of mouth. It's like, I found it. I found it. I got it. That's what we do. I mean, who wants to laugh by themselves? I mean, it's like, when you see a funny movie. Johnny, who wants to laugh by themselves? There's passion. And you gotta see, my wife is always telling me, come see this, because I don't want to see. No, you gotta see this. She makes me watch it. That's evangelism. I gotta talk about it. Because it's good news. So here in Mark 5, remember, this is the story of the demon-possessed man. Us. We jacked up. I mean, I don't even want to try to figure you out. Because I can't figure me out. You ever do stuff and you ask yourself, why did you do that? You're stupid. Because you're stupid. And then you do it again. You're stupid. It's stupid. I mean, it's just stupid. I mean, you ever do that? I mean, we go, I'm never going to watch that again. There it is. That's us. And God sees it all, and he still loves us. And after Jesus had set this guy straight, which took a lot, because he had many demons. Now, I know you're sitting there going, I have a demon, but not many. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And what did he do? Jesus, he said, Lord, I want to go with you. I want to go. I want to be with you. And Jesus said, look, go tell your family what the Lord has done for you.
Come on.
That is what you do when you get it. Let's not ever beat people over the head about sharing their faith. We don't need to do that. I've gotten out of the ministry of trying to control what people do. It don't work anyway. But I've gotten back in the ministry of pointing people back to Jesus. Remember what he did for you. See his glory. When you see God, you see yourself, and then you see others as God wants you to see them. Do you see the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, who is slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellious, and sin, forgiving your rebellion, wickedness, and sin? Do you see it? What difference is it going to make in your life? You know, I get up every day and I read my Bible. So why do you do that? Because I want to see God. I need to see him every day. I need to draw near to him every day. Because I'm a sinful man, and if I lose my perspective on God, I fall back into that pit that Jesus came to redeem me out of. I need to see his glory. I need to be still and know that He is God. I need to stop and consider all the good He's done for me. And then go out and give Him glory by walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Let's ask God to show us His glory, and let's respond to His greatness, to His goodness, to His grace, to His forgiveness. God bless you, and my prayer is that you would turn the world upside down because you have seen the glory of God. God bless you.